You are listening to a podcast from Raritan Valley Community College.
Good afternoon, fellow students, faculty, and staff. My name is Justin Santiago, and I am a first-year student here at RVCC, and I'm pursuing an Associate of Science degree in Environmental Science. I will be introducing our keynote speakers for this afternoon, who will be discussing this year's national theme, Heritage, Diversity, Integrity, and Honor, the Renewed Hope of America, as it relates to the DREAM Act. Our first speaker is Brenda Aguilar. Brenda is a core member of the New Jersey DREAM Act Coalition, and she is a graduate from the College of St. Elizabeth in Morristown with a Bachelor's of Arts in Elementary Education in Spanish and an endorsement in Special Education. Our second speaker, is Melissa Lozano. Melissa is a core member of the New Jersey DREAM Act Coalition, a youth-led group whose legislative priority is to pass the DREAM Act. Melissa is a Rutgers University graduate with a Bachelor's of Art in Biology and a Bachelor's of Science in Nursing. Both speakers are dedicated to addressing the issues that affect immigrant youth and to passing the DREAM Act. And this is Melissa right here. Our speakers are from the New Jersey DREAM Act Coalition, which is a collaborative union of groups, organizations, and residents that are dedicated to the passing of the DREAM Act. NJDAC was created to give a voice to the undocumented youth of New Jersey since there were no groups available to address their needs. Their mission is to recruit young people from all over the state to embrace their civil duties and pursue higher education and pass the DREAM Act. Please help me by welcoming our guests, Brenda Aguilar and Melissa Lozano from the NJ DREAM Act Coalition.
Introduction. Thank you all for welcoming us and inviting us to speak for your Hispanic Heritage Month celebration. We are excited to be here sharing our stories, sharing our struggles, and the importance of the DREAM Act for our immigrant youth. When I was 7 years old, I left Peru to go with my mom to the United States. I was then very excited because I was going to live in the U.S. After a long and difficult trip, I finally made it with my mom to New York City. Shortly after our arrival, my mom became a live-in nanny, and I didn't get to see her much. And that was the case for most of my childhood. A couple of months after our arrival, we made the move to the New Jersey suburbs. Ever since then, New Jersey has been my home. I entered third grade and immediately started ESL classes. My English then consisted of hi, how are you, numbers, colors, and some basic words. And I also had a hard time telling the difference between three and tree. However, I persevered, and by the time I entered fifth grade, I did not need ESL classes anymore. I was always in the honor roll and got straight A's. When I was in fifth grade, I even taught myself most of sixth grade math. I was a year ahead in mathematics, and the schedule did not coincide with the sixth grade classroom for me to go to math class. So I had to stay in my fifth grade classroom, waiting for my teacher to finish her lesson so that she could then teach me. By the time she would get to me, though, I would have figured out the lesson and had started my homework. I continued to do extremely well in school, took part in many sports teams, became a Girl Scout, just your typical American kid. I received many awards and recognitions throughout the years. In my eighth grade graduation, I even received the Citizenship Award. Honestly, I felt a little confused by that. When they called out my name, it's just really confusing. The U.S. government does not recognize me as a citizen, but I was glad that some people thought that I was a good enough member of the community to receive this award. In middle school, I had experienced a little bit of limitations caused by my status. It wasn't until high school, though, that those limitations really started to set in. One was the privilege to drive. Everyone in high school is so excited to get their permits. I wasn't so excited. I wasn't sure if I could get a license. Still, I studied hard and got a perfect score on my test. My mom told me there was no way for me to obtain a driver's license. I thought maybe with my school stub it would be different. So I went to motor vehicles, hopeful, only to be asked for more documentation I did not own. I was devastated. I remember crying inconsolably in the parking lot that day. This was not the first time I was turned away from something due to my status, but it certainly served to show me how different and difficult things were going to be. The time to apply to college came around. I didn't even care to take the SATs. I didn't prepare for it. Back then, I thought that with my status, I could not attend college. I took the SATs anyway, being hopeful that maybe something will happen, that a law would be passed, and I would be able to adjust my status. By graduation, I had no college plans. I had no idea what I was going to do. My friends, my teachers could not understand it. How was it that a student who is an ideal college applicant in the honor roll semester after semester, in advanced classes, captain of her basketball team, and involved in community service, among other things, does not have college plans? How is that possible? High school graduation was bittersweet. Sweet in the sense that I was done with school and had done well. Bitter because I had no clue what was next and I felt stuck. I was filled with so much uncertainty and frustration. I eventually found a job, but a couple of months into it, I was bored out of my mind. I even missed calculus class at that time. I know, crazy. I thought this just couldn't be it for me. I knew that I could do a lot more with myself. It was then that I came to a decision that I had to find a way to go to college and that I was going to do whatever it takes to go, make it, and graduate. I did. I am now a college graduate with two degrees that I can't exercise because I like a social security number. See, when I entered high school, I thought by the time I finished, something would have happened that would enable me to adjust my status. So I waited. High school finished and nothing happened. Then I thought by the time I finished college, maybe some law would pass. But still nothing. I have been undocumented now for 20 years. It has been 20 years that I've been waiting and no action has been taken by Congress. When I heard of the DREAM Act, I thought, hey, that's exactly what I've been waiting for. This is me. The DREAM Act came out in 2001, and we still haven't passed this measure. The DREAM Act would benefit this country by advancing the talents of thousands of hardworking students like myself and like my friend Brenda here, who have grown up here in this country and consider America their home. This is the only home we know, and we want the chance to be able to contribute fully to our communities. And that is why we are dedicated to passing the DREAM Act. And now Brenda will tell you a little more about the DREAM Act.
And just so you know, we will be talking back and forth, so you might think that we're done, but the screen will come up at the end and it'll say thank you, just to give you a heads up so you don't have to clap every time. So I've been talking to Ava and I was trying to find out what you've been involved with, what you know about the DREAM Act, and I hear that you know a little bit at least about it. So can anyone tell me the acronym, like what DREAM actually stands for? Well, the DREAM Act stands for the Development Relief, Education, and Alien Minors Act. Now, this bill, just like Melissa said, has been proposed since what year? Since 2001, yep. And ever since then, we've been waiting and waiting, and some people have been waiting for many, many years, and it still hasn't passed. In fact, the only time that it came close to even on the radar was in 2007, when it lost by 8 votes in the Senate. Beyond that, we've just been waiting for 10 years now. Now, if the DREAM Act were to pass, it would create a path of conditional residency for less than 2.1 million people. People say that it would create more and more immigrants, more and more reasons for people to arrive here, but it literally would be less than 2.1 million that could actually benefit, and even less than that. Now, if you can see over here, we have the DREAM Act requirements, and there are those basic requirements. Before you even think that you could apply for the DREAM Act, you need to be able to fulfill all of these requirements, and then you could have a chance to apply. You need to be able to have been brought here before the age of 16. You need to have graduated from college or obtained your GED. Basically, you can't have any bad records. And before the DREAM Act passes, if it were to pass this year, you need to have been here in this country at least 5 years before the DREAM Act. And only a certain amount of people could actually apply. If you're between the ages of 12 and 35, is the population that can apply. So, one of the questions that people will raise, and one of the statements that most people will say is, why don't these people go back to their country? Why don't they get in line? They don't need to have rights. They're illegal. They're undocumented. And these are the different myths that people will say. And these are the different ideas that people have in their minds. But most of these negative statements, or most and all negative statements, are usually false. The people that would qualify for this act were children when they were brought here. They had no real desire to move anywhere. Could a six-year-old really say to their mom and dad, I want to go to a new country in order to get a better opportunity and so that I can go to college? I don't think so. This is their country, and most children know no other place to live. In fact, despite all claims, there is no current law. Most people will say that they should get in line. There is no line. There is no law that would help these kids. The DREAM Act would actually be a stimulus bill because it would be a return on their investment, on the taxpayers' investments of paying all undocumented students' education, K through 12. And, in fact, these students would not get any benefits when going to college. They would receive the same type of tests, the same type of programs that any other student would have to face. So here is one of the pictures that we took during one of our trainings. And I wanted to ask you if you've heard of any of the big organizations, the big immigration organizations, like Reform Immigration for America, RIFA, for La Raza, or America's Voice. These organizations are mostly led by, and they target immigrant adults. New Jersey Dream Act Coalition was created because the youth need a voice. We need to be heard. And our two main goals are to advocate for immigrant youth rights and to pass the Dream Act. So in order to do this, Melissa and I founded the New Jersey Dream Act Coalition. And after a series of events and phone calls and meetings, we were able to take the guidance of other organizations and expand. So from this group that came out in March, we've been giving talks and going to colleges and high schools to do justice, to inform and educate people.
Okay, like we said, the Dream Act has been a possibility for a long time now, has been around since 2001, and we have been patiently waiting for the right thing to be done. But we're all tired of waiting. Young people full of potential are losing hope every day. They're getting frustrated, and a lot of them going through depression as well, because they can't go to college, or because they can't get a job, or they can't accept job offers due to their legal status. Because our youth is so fed up, escalating actions were taken this year as the window of opportunity for the Dream Act to be passed got smaller and smaller. Earlier this year, a group of undocumented Dream advocates from Chicago did the unthinkable. In front of Federal Plaza, with a microphone at hand and their faces fully in view, eight courageous undocumented youth came out to the world as undocumented. As a network, we called March 10 National Coming Out of the Shadows Day. The courage of these eight dreamers inspired us all, and other coming out actions followed, including one in New York City, where there were also New Jersey dreamers that came out. We came out and continue to do so because it is necessary and urgent to do so. We need to tell our stories, because we need to highlight the need for a humane immigration policy, the need for the Dream Act, the need for action on these issues, not only by Congress, but by our communities as well. So this year, on January 1st, four Florida students started to walk from Miami to DC. Did anybody hear about these students? No? Not a single hand. Okay, I'm glad I'm bringing it up then. On January 1st, four Florida students started to walk from Miami to DC. It was a 1,500-mile walk to bring awareness of the broken immigration system. They stopped in town spreading the word on the Dream Act and the struggles of immigrant youth, showing us that it was time to act. No more talks, just we have to act. Inspired by the actions and the courage of these students, activists from New York decided to walk as well and to raise awareness and meet the Trail of Dreams on May 1st in D.C.
I think you can go through
the next. So for May 1st, there was a huge rally that day. People from many different states, not only youth, but immigrant adults as well were there. And the previous picture actually was a picture of us in t-shirts saying no human being is illegal. I think that's an awful word to use. I know I used it myself to describe myself growing up. And I think you can imagine what it does to one's psyche to label yourself as that. The alien, that was even worse. I believe my Congressman Frelinghuysen actually used that word after a press conference that we had in front of his office. To describe us, yeah. This is a picture of our allies doing a civil disobedience action. This was shortly after the Arizona law SB 1070 passed. And we're seeing a lot of our families, our friends deported, and our allies did the civil disobedience action again to protest against these measures. In them is Congressman Gutierrez from Illinois. He was arrested that day. On May 17th, Dreamers staged a sit-in in Senator McCain's office. Senator McCain is the senator from Arizona. They made history as the first undocumented activist to do civil disobedience. And they did it in Arizona, out of all places, probably the scariest place where an undocumented immigrant could be. And why Senator McCain? It was to protest his lack of support for the DREAM Act. And in 2007, as Brenda had stated earlier, when the DREAM Act was up for a vote, Senator McCain walked out 15 minutes before that vote came to the Senate floor. And he had been a longtime supporter. In New York, on June 1st, members of the Youth Leadership Council did a hunger strike for 10 days in front of Senator Schumer's office. They probably can't see very clearly on this picture, but they're right in front of his office, and there's a tarp there on the sidewalk. They actually slept there. They sat there all day, slept there. They drank just water and Pedialyte. They talked to people who were walking by and educated them on the DREAM Act and why they were doing what they were doing. In July, students from all over the United States came together for 3 days of rallies and legislative visits to promote the DREAM Act. On July 20th, 21 of them were arrested for staging sit-ins in the Senate building and offices, and they risk deportation. So as you have seen through these actions this year, Dreamers across the nation have taken the leadership and have taken huge risks to make sure that the DREAM Act gets passed this year. My question to you is, what will you do? So where is the DREAM Act now? I don't know, does anybody know what happened in September with the DREAM Act?
I think it fell short of 4 votes that was included in the bill, the GI bill. No, not the one to include, to stop the don't ask, don't tell policy.
Okay, anybody else? So what happened in September, Senator Reid wanted to pass the Department of Defense bill before the election on November 2nd. It was the opportunity to attach the DREAM Act to that bill as an amendment. So the vote exactly wasn't on the DREAM Act, though. It was on the motion to proceed with the Department of Defense bill. Now, usually this bill goes through pretty easily. But because of politics, it was 56, it fell by 56 to 43, that was the vote. But the DREAM Act did not die there. I know that a lot of media are saying that, yeah, this was a vote for the DREAM Act, there's no hope for the DREAM Act for this year. And the truth is that we are still pushing for the DREAM Act after the November elections. It's called the lame duck session. And we are pretty optimistic that that's a possibility. Now, what is happening here in New Jersey? Well, so far, we have 40 co-sponsors in the Senate, 131 co-sponsors in the House of Representatives. In New Jersey, our senators, Senator Menendez and Senator Lautenberg, are longtime supporters and co-sponsors of the DREAM Act. In our representatives, we have 5 representatives out of 13. Does anybody know what district they're in right now? Any guesses? Do you know who your congressman is? Well, I believe we are in District 7 right now. And so that your congressman is Congressman Lance. Congressman Lance is not a co-sponsor of the DREAM Act. We have spoken to him on several occasions, But we are hoping to change his mind and hope to get him on that list of co-sponsors, hopefully in the next few weeks. So basically the representatives that have co-sponsored are mainly Democrats. And now, so what can you do to help pass the DREAM Act?
So I heard that last year the college has been really active in trying to educate people about the DREAM Act, trying to create t-shirts, do flyers, give information, and these are only a couple of ideas that people have thought of. People have been very creative in doing many different activities, and everybody can think of something new, because I know that in Washington people have done mock graduations. Last year and this year, there have been thousands of undocumented students and documented students that flew from all over the United States to be part of this graduation, where students would be able to talk and at least feel some part of America, some part of being a citizen. And one of these ideas, you could do something as simple as writing a letter every day even, or every week, and you will be heard. There have been people that have stood in a corner or at the traffic circle, wherever their town is, just holding up a sign every day, talking, just stating, pass the DREAM Act. So my question to you, just like Melissa posed before, is what can you do? We have letters that we printed out for you to fill out, and we're going to send them to Congressman Lance so that he can hear a voice in his community, in his district, of people that want the DREAM Act to be passed.
I just wanted to say something really quick before we finish here. Something that was brought to my attention when speaking with your staff, and I thought I should bring it up, just so you have a better understanding what undocumented immigrant youth are experiencing here in our state. I know that Raritan Valley Community College has quite a welcoming, if you want to say, practice of admitting undocumented students. The county where I'm from, the county college there does not accept undocumented students. They actually have a policy that says that no undocumented students can enroll in their school. What? Now, this is the only...
What college is it?
County College of Morris. Morris County. Now, the issue has always been in-state tuition. Whether undocumented students have to pay out-of-state rates instead of the in-state rates, and that's obviously a huge barrier. But the County College of Morris has just taken it a step further, gone to the other side, and has come out with this policy. So that's something that we are trying to change. And also, like I said, the issue has been in-state and out-of-state rates. I mean, last year we're trying to get in-state tuition passed here in New Jersey. That unfortunately did not come through. But we hope to bring up this issue again sometime soon. I know with our current governor, that might be a little difficult because he is against it. But I want to thank everybody for coming, for listening to us. And if you have any questions, we'll take them.
Does the DREAM Act have a shelf life? Can it just expire and no one can
put
it on the table?
Well, we have till this... the elections are in November for the new Congress, and the Congress starts in mid-January. So
if it doesn't pass, And it continue to be on the table?
We can just keep reintroducing it every legislative session. Anybody else have any questions?
The Dream Act is really about the voting in Congress that's going to happen. One reason it hasn't passed is that especially Republican congressmen know young people don't vote very much. Poor people don't vote very often. Hispanic Americans are voting in increasing numbers, but still not up to the level of their percentage in the population. And undocumented students or people can't vote at all. Writing Leonard Lance or your congressman is good, but voting in accordance with this is better. Especially in a midterm election such as this, where there's no president involved, many, many people stay away from the polls. And this is one of the prices that we pay. You have to vote to move these things through. Also, you mentioned the County College of Morris. The tougher direction here is getting worse. There are two states now, South Carolina and Georgia, that will not let undocumented students into their public colleges at all. And the plan is to expand that effort nationally. So again, it's important that you vote, because that's what gives me the movement to go to that.
Thank you. To add to what, I'm sorry, your name?
Brock. Brockhausen.
Brock.
Brock.
Brock?
Yeah.
To add to what the gentleman was saying, I want to also point out that there is a bill in the state legislature that it has been introduced, I believe, since probably 2006. It doesn't have much support, so it has just been pretty stagnant there. But in this bill, it would make it a law in New Jersey that schools, public and private, could not accept undocumented students in their schools. So, I mean, he mentioned North Carolina and in Georgia, you know, that bill is right in our legislature. And we have to get out, get the vote, make sure that our congressmen hear our voices. Anybody else have any questions? Going once?
Well, you know, it seems that the Latino is a very important issue for us, but there are other undocumented people here.
Absolutely.
You know, in the United States, so I mean, I know of Christina.
What? They can't hear back there.
Put your hair back. No, then I'm saying that there are a lot of undocumented people in the United States that are not only Latinos. You know, this is an issue that is very pressing for the Latinos, but there are a lot of other people. And I think they should also be kind of contacted somehow. There has to be other organizations for everyone. I mean, because I know of a person that she went to school with a fake, you know, ID, and now she has a job, but it's all, you know, without it being really her, you know, but she can't do anything legally, you know, but she's not Latina, she's a Filipina, but, you know, that it's not only for Latinos, and I think if people that are here legally, or however, we should get their support, you know, look for it more, because it enriches everyone. You know, it's not just an issue for Latinos. You know?
Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much.
We'll start the lunch.
Have a great day.